Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust you've been encouraged, and hopefully we didn't get too derailed by listening to what happens at conference meetings, but it is the work of the church, and I can echo Nelson's sentiment there that it was a good 2 days, and well, there's sometimes when I look at life as from a youth's perspective, it's, you know, there's two people have two different ideas about something, and it can feel like it's really confrontational. But I've learned in my life, I think I learned in my life, that sometimes people sharing their thoughts or is not all confrontational, and it's just a means of getting to where you want to go. And so we had a good time of doing that and working together. I did appreciate also the thought of conflict. I did not know that the message I had this morning was going to tie in so much into that thought of conflict. I read the Sunday school lesson, but that point had not stood out to me quite so much. But we're going to study into something of a time when there was some conflict or some differences of opinion about things. And you could call it conflict, I guess, if you want to. But I don't think it needed to be. And it's just a matter of working through the steps to get to the end result of where truth was. For the locals here, I know there's a lot of visitors, and welcome here. 1848. As I ponder a message, sometimes I go look at history, okay? And what happened, you know, in history at this day? And this was one of those. Today is yesterday and today would have been something that our nation, I'd say New York State, it knows about 1848, and I don't know if we know so much, and that's why my question to you is, what happened in 1848 locally? Anybody? Let me give you a hint. Happened in Seneca Falls. Women's rights. There was a convention held of about 300 people that got together in Seneca Falls at the Wesleyan Church, I think it is. I should have wrote all that down, but that it happened that these people got together and discussed women's rights. And I read a good bit of stuff about that, and I pondered about that, and I'm like, where could I take a message from that? And I don't think the Lord led me in a path that way, so I don't know. I pondered about even bringing that up, but I thought, well, I'd just share that. And you think about that, what all that has done, and we'll just leave that there, but that did happen. I did one of the things as I thought about conflict, some of the reading I did. There was a man that was there at that convention that he had an agenda, and he pushed that agenda. Anyhow, we'll leave that where it is. I wonder, I just say that in conflict, if you come into conflict with that idea that you have an agenda and you're going to push your agenda, and you're going to do that in a brotherhood, it'll never work. We'll leave it there. Well, the message that I got inspired to bring this morning is one that does affect, we're going to look at some ladies in their lives, and we're going to think about something about them and what their life was like a little bit. And so I've entitled the message this morning, Mary, Martha, and the Master. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We have this account in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it starts into it. And we're going to read to the end of the chapter here, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, and it's Jesus and his disciples, came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and I'm going to stop there and just highlight to us with other scripture, we know that village was Bethany. That was the village it was. He entered into a certain village, Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Okay, so we have many Marys in the Bible. And so this, we know this account of Mary and Martha. And so let's just hold that and let's go over to John, the book of John, chapter 11. Let's take the time to read this. We know this account, but we like the scripture can speak to us, and I think this morning's message would be one. I want the scripture to speak to us, as well as I will have some points as well. But let's read John chapter 11. Let's start reading at verse 1. Let's all stand to read. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, after that he had said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought of that he had spoke of taking the rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have ye laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You may be seated. Now I'd like to just jump on down to chapter 12. Yeah, this is these are the account. When you read Mary in the scripture, these are the account of where this Mary is, that same woman. And so we're going to read the first 8 verses of chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that was sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This said he, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying she hath kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. All right. So there's a lot of reading that we took you on a journey of Jesus' relation with these two women and their brother Lazarus. And the journeys of, as we've read there in John 11, we see where Bethany was. We get that picture that is nigh to Jerusalem. And Jesus is, when he went to Jerusalem, it was a dangerous place for him. And about 15 furlongs off. And so it was a good place. It was kind of out of the way a little bit. But that's where, as his journeys took him to Bethany, it was a place there. And here was this woman, Martha, as we go back to Luke chapter 10. And look at this account here. Here's Jesus traveling, and there's this woman, Martha, that realizes that there's a need. And so she opens the house there and invites Jesus in. And it was a place where Jesus felt at home. There was love there. There was a connection there. And Jesus spent much time there. And so here Jesus is in Luke chapter 10. Jesus has come to them, and he has entered into their home. And customs of that time said that the women should be serving. It was the right thing to do the serving, taking care of the visitors that are there. And there's these two sisters that are there. Martha was the one that opened the house and invited Jesus in. And there's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's two different personalities in these sisters. I'd like to bring that maybe just a little bit to our day. I don't know. I don't want to put something there that's not there. But I see Mary as one that could have a sink full of dirty dishes, a big pile of dirty laundry, and still pick up a book and read it. Maybe that's a little dramatic, but you get the picture. That's just her. Things she focused on. Oh, she wanted to do that instead of doing the work that needed done. Martha, on the other hand, was a personality that she just couldn't get done. She never found time to read a book. She couldn't sit down unless everything she could think on a list of things to do was done. Think about it. That's these two sisters. There's definitely a difference between the two and the way they related to life. And so, but they're sisters. There's a relationship together. And I wanted to read those other accounts because you see it when Lazarus was dead, there is still a connection that his sisters was there. Martha ran and met the Lord Jesus first. And then she comes and tells Mary that Jesus wants to see you. There's a connection that's still there. Even if there was differences. Sometimes as you think about blending differences, You see it in a brotherhood, in a church function. Sometimes blending differences can be a little struggle. But you see how that's supposed to work. It, just view what happens in a family. You've probably heard the statement. I don't know how to say that anymore, that statement. But how you can be in a family, you could be, one day you can just look like you're just almost enemies with each other, or you really have a disagreement. I hope you deal with that as you ought to. But then you turn around the next day, and if somebody else steps on something, you will do all you can to pull together as a family and defend your brother or sister. And so I pondered that as I pondered this relationship between Mary and Martha. But a brotherhood needs to be that way, a pulling together. That if our brother or sister is in a way that somebody, that they feel like someone's attacking, that we're willing to help them and to side with them and help them through that. A little side note, I guess, for the message this morning. I'd like to look at Mary. I'm going to take these three, Mary, Martha, and the Master. And we said there is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary just sat there and heard Jesus' words. I see a woman that had rapt attention. She realized that there's something in this man Jesus, that he had something to teach her. In the Bible times like that, there was you could go read where young boys would sit at a rabbi's feet and learn things. He'd learn to channel his life. He learned to follow that rabbi. It was a place of learning. As Mary took that place there at Jesus' feet, she was in essence saying, Jesus, I want to learn from you. That place at Jesus' feet was a place of submission and teachableness. She was opening herself up to learn what Jesus had for her. It was also a place of devotion. She was devoted. Attentiveness, focused on Jesus. She was focused on him because there was something there for her. For us today, as we ponder Mary, we too need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit there and learn of Jesus. How do you view Christ? Is there things in your life that's a distraction of your relationship with the Almighty God of heaven? Look at my life as I pondered that thought. I can name a number of them to you. But maybe we won't so much, other than to say, how easy is it when you're in your prayer closet? How easy is it to get distracted or to fall asleep? How easy is it to just skim a passage and move on with life? Because there's so much to do. I believe today our utmost need is to learn to sit at Jesus' feet and to learn to shut out the food that needs prepared, the work that needs to happen that day, and just stop and worship at the feet of Jesus. The need to look to Jesus with devotion and attentiveness. Who takes first place in my life? Who takes first place? Without taking the time to sit at Jesus' feet, we will struggle to overcome temptation. We will turn into a carnal person. In other words, we will be a person that's going to follow our fleshly desires. And what appeals to our flesh, and without, if we forget to stop and look to Jesus, it's going to only be a downward spiral. More and more carnal. We will follow our own selfish impulses, and we'll become more and more lethargic in spiritual things. What are some things that keep us from listening to Jesus today? Is it other voices? Is it podcasts? Is it a YouTube clip? Or is it our own busy schedules and our wrong priorities in it? Satan don't care how he can fill you so that you don't take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. But he just wants it to stop. We have this woman, Mary, that had a desire to learn more of the Master. Let's look at Martha now. A woman that extended hospitality. It seems in verse 38 of chapter 10 that Martha was the one that opened the house doors, and she had hospitality to go out and to welcome people in. She was one that was not an introvert but an extrovert, welcoming people in. That was her. Like we had touched before, she was a laborer. She saw work, she got it done. And she wanted to do it. And what was the things that needed to do? Jesus and his disciples were here. They had company there. We need to get it done. They need food. Maybe a couple load of wash for the travelers. And a list of unfinished things to do around the house. Oh yeah, Jesus had to wash his clothes too sometimes. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for us. In fact, you go to the scripture, Jesus didn't tell her it's wrong that she's doing these things. Things need done. There was something in verse 40, though. As you ponder, Martha was cumbered about much serving. It was what occupied her. It was the utmost in her is to make sure that list was done. You see, it didn't matter what Jesus was doing, but as long as the work got done. And I understand the work needs to be done. But it was overly occupied and too busy and with this serving and taking care of needs that she couldn't leave any of it go to realize her need of Jesus. It caused her, as she thought about the work she was doing, and she started looking around, and here's her sister Mary just sitting there. You ever get annoyed in life? There's work to do, and somebody just sits there. I believe that's what's happening here. And again, I highlight that of itself maybe wasn't all wrong, except for she didn't reckon with the fact of what Mary was doing. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, a very important thing. But she looked around, and her criticism of Mary was, you should be doing more. You're not pulling your workload. You see, her focus was all on what needed done, the serving that needed done. And she lost the sight that she was criticizing. She started in this path of pity me. It caused her to be upset. It caused her to to start talking and not listening to what Jesus was saying. I don't know. Maybe he was talking about loving your neighbor, as we heard in the devotional this morning. We don't know what Jesus was teaching at that time. But it caused her in her self-pity, it caused her to be critical of her sister. Her sister had a need. Her sister maybe should have helped. But more so, she should have maybe stopped her work and left a little bit of the finishing touches on that special meal go a little bit and focused on her serving Christ. Her self-pity caused her to feel alone in the work. I share that this morning because I think this falls close to us. When we start feeling self-pity and start focusing inward, we too will start looking around and seeing needs in other people, what we think that they need to change on, not realizing that they're on a relationship walk with the Lord. Maybe the Lord is using them in a different way than what he is me. Her self-pity in verse 40 actually caused her to look to the Lord and say, Lord, even you don't care. You don't even care that my sister's just sitting there and I'm doing the work. Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Well, it affected her whole attitude about life. I'd like to look at Jesus now and his response. As Martha brought that accusation to Jesus. Martha, Martha. We could turn to Scripture, to Luke 22:31. We weren't going to turn there, but the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you of wheat. But I prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In that passage in Luke, can you see Jesus and his love for Simon? We just in our Sunday school talked about Saul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When Jesus used two words together, I think it means something. I think we have love. When he said, Martha, Martha, I think there was a love that dripped from those words that Martha could see that Jesus had a real longing to help her. Jesus looked within Martha and saw the real need. Martha, you are so anxious and troubled about many things. You're almost worried sick about them. One thing is needful. Some ancient manuscripts would have more the thought when you think about one thing is needful, would say more like a few things are needful. But this is the most important one. One thing is needful. What is that? Food? Fun? Entertainment? What is most meaningful in your life, my life today? Oh yeah, we need food. You will die without it. More needful than food or anything else in life is a relationship with the God of heaven, the giver of life. Martha, in your criticism of Mary, you have missed the point that that is what Mary is following. She has chosen that good part, the most important thing in life. Don't try to take it away from her. God is love. In love, he's calling to you and I today. Ronald, Ronald. You put your name there. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing is the most important thing in life. Go look at Mary. Her example, she's leaving you. Come sit at my feet and learn of me. Let me be first and foremost in your life. And the things of this life, their value will get less and less important. It's going to help you when you get wronged in life. It's going to help you when somebody takes advantage of you. It's going to help you when you feel like you're the only one doing the work. You put all the rest of your troubles in life in there. But Jesus in love cares about each and every one and the troubles that they have in life and the anxious hearts and the wherever you're at in life, he cares about you and he just asks you, put the first things first and come sit at my feet and learn of me. It's so easy in criticism to look across and start saying. And I thought about, in closing, maybe just a closing passage, a few thoughts to think about. In John 21, we have the disciples there. And Jesus is having discourse with them. And Peter, it says in John 21, verse 20, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which you know is John, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to the Lord, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple, John, should not die. Yet Jesus saith not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You pick up your relationship with the Lord. And follow Christ. Let him be first and foremost in your life. I read those other passages about Mary and Martha. Because as you come to John and realize that Martha is the one that first went running to Jesus. I believe something changed in her life. From Jesus' encouragement to her, that Mary has chosen this good point, she laid it down and realized that she too needed to focus on serving Christ. My challenge to you today and to myself is, am I serving Christ as closely as I ought? Or am I starting to look about and say, well, what are they doing? May God help us. Let's kneel for prayer.